Assalamu alaikum, people listening and watching. You're tuning into the Let's Walk podcast. I'm your host, Atha, and joining me today is Tom Kugler. And some of you may recognize him from the viral Facebook, LinkedIn, or Medium posts. And Tom, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And, you know, really nice that we got connected because I'm in Mexico and you're over in India. And so we got to jump through hoops with time zones, but I'm happy to be here, man, and happy to talk about whatever you want.
Yeah. So, you know, like a couple of minutes, like I would say like half an hour ago, I came across your YouTube channel. But before that, I actually, you know, I was at a construction site, you know, so we are kind of building our family place. Like we have this house, but then they're building one more, you know, the generational wealth and that sort of thing. So I was at the construction place and, you know, I was I took out my phone and I was like, you know, like just scrolling on LinkedIn and I came across your profile and then, you know, I binge read all your articles. And one of those articles, you said, you know, that you're going to open an on-demand printing store in the Philippines. And I was like, why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, so here's one thing that that happened here. Well, here's one thing everybody should know. I changed my plans quite a bit. That actually never happened. And, you know, like weirdly enough, I got to kind of explain some backstory into me, and that might be helpful for your audience here. Like I lived in the Philippines for, you know, about 3 years from 2018 to late 2020. So it's about 2.5 years, let's say. And I really loved that country and I started making videos about that country. And so I, you know, made videos on my Facebook page, Finding Tom, and on my YouTube channel. And I made videos about what I found, what I realized about this country culturally, some things that, you know, from an American's perspective, you know. And so I started to realize that there was a lot of misconceptions and preconceived notions about, you know, what we had about, like, let's say the Philippines or Asia in general, or, you know, that part of the world. And so I started to make videos about that and what we consider, you know, problems that we have when we talk about, like, you know, quote unquote third world countries, which is a term that I really hate. And I started to kind of like just see these two worlds. And so that's a whole other story entirely that we can get to one day. Later on in this call. But, you know, that's kind of like what my life was. And so I kind of had this idea. I think I wrote this article possibly like early last year, you know, around this time. And I was like, these are the five things I want to do. I want to invest in Bitcoin. I want to start a print-on-demand store in the Philippines. You know, I want to, I think there's a couple other things that I forget, but I think the only thing I did on that list was buy Bitcoin. That was like the only thing that I actually did. I had a list of five things that I was shooting for the year. So I only bought Bitcoin, which I'm very happy that I did, by the way. And, we could talk about that too, if you want. And so, yeah, I thought maybe I could start a print-on-demand store because I don't know. I was getting a little like, this is what happens when you create content online a little bit. I've been doing this for the past four or five years, and I just felt that I needed to do something else. You know, I felt like I needed to like expand out into other territories and, you know, make more revenue streams and do something that wasn't content related, because when you're in the content game, it's tough to continue being creative every single day. It kind of takes a toll on you a little bit. And I wanted to get a break from that. I wanted to like have a revenue stream that wasn't kind of dependent on my own creativity. So that was like the thinking behind that. And so there was a whole lot of twists and turns in 2021 that I'm forgetting what freaking year it is. There was a lot of twists and turns in 2021 that made me kind of steer clear of that. But yeah, I never ended up doing that. Like long story short. So yeah, you know, that was basically the reasoning though behind why I wanted to do that.
So what I perceive was that, you know, maybe you were trying to creating content online and everything, you know, that's like online money. You are trying to generate something in like the pesos, that sort of thing. Was it something like that?
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to like a money generator possibly. I saw people having a lot of success with that. I also saw that there was actually a little bit of opportunity to be creative with the print on demand store as well, because you can create your own designs and you can, like, you know, be as like make these like hilarious shirts and just see what the market likes and possibly build a brand for yourself. And I always felt that I have that creative side to me, and I could have figured it out at some point. But I also felt that it was a whole new list of, you know, skills that I needed to learn to be able to open up and actually succeed in the print-on-demand world. And yeah, I just decided that it was too much for me. I should probably just stick to content, and I should stick to, you know, selling programs and helping people get their message out into the world a little bit more. And so, yeah, that's why, you know, that's why I kind of just stuck with writing and creating. Yeah.
You know, I was observing two things, you know, that came to my mind. It's like people who do speaking, like speaking gigs, and people who do writing. Usually, you know, they think that, you know, like that's so simple, right? Anybody can do that when it comes to speaking and writing, but not so much when it comes to coding or videography or photography. And that is what maybe, you know, like puts them a step back when it comes to pursuing their freelance journey or actually jumping into this field of content creation. Like, do you relate with that?
Yeah. So like, what, can you repeat what you said about like the photography, videography part, just like really fast for me?
Yeah. So like similar to coding, people think like those are tough skills and those are like really rare and valuable, unlike reading, unlike writing and speaking. That's all.
Got it. Yeah. So they almost feel like they can't do it because those skills are so hard to cultivate, basically. Is that what that's what you're saying? Yeah.
No, what I was actually pointing at was that people who have these writing skills and speaking skills, they actually want to progress into their field, maybe like content creation in terms of writing LinkedIn posts or Medium articles. But they think that it's far too common, right? Anybody can write or speak. Mm-hmm. So that is why they don't end up pursuing it. Is that something you relate with?
I actually relate with the opposite. I actually feel like there's people that are too scared to get into this because they feel like they're not a good writer, you know, or creator, you know, or speaker. I feel like I'm really sorry. I think my brain is just not working today, Ada, you know, my bad. But like, that's kind of like what I'm thinking. When I create courses, like free courses, and write articles to people that want to become writers or creators, that's like one of the biggest things that I hear back from people is, you know, I don't think I can be a writer. I don't feel comfortable. What do I have to say? I'm not that interesting. There's other people that are more interesting than me. There's other people that are saying that are putting out messages into the world that are way, way better than mine. And so I come up against all of this stuff when I am trying to teach people how to write online. And I just see that there's a ton of fear. And it really sucks because I wish that there wasn't that much fear, because imagine all the stories that we get from people if they had a little more confidence in themselves and a little more confidence in their story. And in a large part, that's another thing that I do with my business. I don't just try to teach people how to write. I try to encourage them, and I try to give them the you know, bravery I think you know what I'm trying to say. I try to give them the courage, exactly, to tell their story and to publish those words out into the world. And so I've very much found that is two sides of the same coin. And many times you actually have to work more on the encouraging part of that than the writing talent part, because we all learn how to write in school. And I think this may be what you were talking about before. We all learn how to write in school, right? We think that we know how to write. We think that we're right in that regard. I think a lot of people know how to write. It's just do you know how to write a viral blog post or a viral post on LinkedIn? That's a whole other story entirely. Like, sure, you can write an email to somebody, but to write a story is very difficult to do. And some people perhaps don't know that. So I think I've come full circle. I like that answer. Yeah, I'll stop there.
Yeah, so I see somewhere, you know, I took up your, I think it was a free LinkedIn something recently. And you were like, it had all the like email templates, like different kinds of posts. And I was actually experimenting with that on LinkedIn and trying to see how people react to that, especially the one which you know, where you use the hashtag quote your connections. I actually connected with the, I actually remember a quote from my like old English teacher, and I actually did that post, and he was like, I can't believe you remember that. And he was like so emotional about that. So I really love that. You know, it's like a movement, you know, like connect with people. Like he probably thought I forgot that, you know, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Like so crazy, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I had a similar moment with a teacher that I had from high school, that I connected with on Facebook, and I didn't know that he was on Facebook, but I sent him a connection request a friend request immediately. And, I made a status post about him, about something that he said. And I think he was surprised too. It's like I don't know. That's a whole other thing too. I mean, like we remember teachers in our lives. I think that's really powerful. I think that teachers maybe feel like maybe sometimes they question how much impact they're really having on people, but it's actually ginormous. And I remember basically like, you know, all my teachers from high school. And so, the impact they have on one person at a time can be really, really huge. But you're right though. Like it's really fun to be able to, it's crazy. Like the world just seems to be starving for communication. And like, even though we're so connected today, the world is starving for like the truth and honesty and vulnerability still, even though a lot of writers weaponize that to, in order to get more views. But when you are, you know, raw and vulnerable and honest in the right way to the right people, you can really make a huge impact. I mean, I have sprinters on my LinkedIn program who say they write a post and they've been posting for 10 days, and all of a sudden people they haven't talked to in years just come out of the woodwork and they're like, hey, like I didn't know that, you know, you created content. I really like your stuff. And thanks, you know, I'm really happy for you. I hope you're doing great. It's like, and these people are shocked by that. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when we communicate more, when we're more honest with what we're saying. And that's the type of world that I want to live in. And I'm really happy that I get to contribute something to that kind of world that I want to create and encourage people to write more. And so, yeah.
I think, you know, like while writing LinkedIn posts, I also do the bullet journals. It sort of, you know, clears my thought process a little bit more. And I'm not sure about like writing on LinkedIn, because you know I have to get it a little bit more organized and get the point in such a way that it drives there's a point that's being driven from the post instead of trying to be like random thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I think writing, you know, in general helps with the like organizing the thoughts and everything. Sure. But what I wanted to jump into was that there are groups where it comes to like having the writers and everything, they like each other's posts. And what I'm curious about is that how do you measure whether you have written a good post or not so good post? Because then everybody is liking and commenting on each other's posts for better reach or better, I don't know what, engagement. So how do you actually really measure if the post is good or not good, because it's kind of being manipulated, like kind of being messed around, right?
Yeah, I think that that's a really, really great question. I feel like, okay, so I run my own group that's kind of like this, except I feel like a lot of these, I mean, like with a lot of these like for like groups and stuff, it's they comment and they like, and they comment something generic, like great post, you know, and they do that just to gain the algorithm.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. And so they didn't read the post. They just wrote that, liked it, and then moved on to the next one because that was their, you know, that was what they needed to do. In my programs, I encourage people to, you know, write a comment that's thoughtful and to actually read the post, digest it, and then comment something thoughtful. And a lot of people get a lot more, you know, kind of they get a lot more like happiness from doing that, or, you know, purpose from doing that. And so there's a lot of different ways to go about it. I think, though, from based on the data that I have seen with my own programs, that even when you do that like for like stuff and comment for comment stuff, like the posts that should do well in the feed always do well. And the posts that shouldn't don't. They fall flat when they're not saying something great, or when they're not great, when they're not saying something new or putting a new twist on an idea, and it's not generally interesting, it falls flat. There's no amount of manipulation that you can do that will make that go viral. It's just not going to happen. So what I try to do in my programs is create the opportunity for that to happen. But if the post is not good by itself, it's not going to go anywhere. You know, I could write, you know, I could write a post, a LinkedIn post, you know, I could say PP. And that would be it. I just press post. And then if I got 100 people to like and comment on that, it still wouldn't go viral because, you know, it just says PP. And there's no way other people are going to like that. So just a little thought experiment there. But the question was, how can I tell what's good and what's not good? Honestly, it's still a little difficult to tell. I try to kind of live by a set of like little content, by a set of rules that if you follow them over time, your odds of going viral kind of skyrocket. And so like the one thing that I try to say is, if you've read it before online, don't write it. So like, you know, let's say the nutrition advice or the health advice to get 8 hours of sleep every night. Okay, cool. Like if you make a post about getting 8 hours of sleep and how that's really helpful, like nobody's going to care because we've read that a billion times online. We know that. We know like getting 8 hours of sleep is really helpful. But if for some reason you have a new perspective that getting 3 hours of sleep per night is all you need, that's going to catch my attention because you're saying something new. Now, whether you're right or wrong, you know, that's up to you. And I don't know, maybe you have your reasons. I don't think you're right, but maybe you have your reasons. But that's saying something new at the very least. Now, we shouldn't say something new just because we want to say something new. I think we should, you know, back it up with data and science and make sure that what we're saying is correct and accurate. But anytime you have something new to say, I think that's going to be, you know, the determiner of whether you go viral or not. I have like writers that they write on Medium and they've done well on Medium, and then they go to LinkedIn and they do well on LinkedIn. And it's because they're an original thinker, they have new thoughts, they have new ideas. And there's just too many people that, like to your point before, there's too many people that think, oh, I can be a writer because I learned how to write in school and, you know, I can do this, I can go viral. It's like, no, you can't. You have to have original thoughts first. You have to, like, your thinking patterns have to be different from everybody else, which means you have to be smarter. To be smarter, you either have to do one of two things. You have to read a lot, or you have to go and have new experiences. Those are the two things. Those are the two ways to, like, become different from the mob, of the faceless mob of people. And so for me, it was do new things. That was always my, like, area of expertise. It was just, like, go do new things, learn what you can, talk to people. You know, be interested, be curious, open your mind. And then there's some people who just read like tons of personal development books and other books, and they just learn a ton of information, and then they can, you know, tell that to people. And so those are the two things that, you know, kind of determine whether you can be an original thinker or not. And so that's, like, long story short, that's kind of my answer. Be an original thinker. Like, don't give me the just generic health advice that I've always heard before. Like, try to dig a little deeper and introduce some new ideas to me, and then I will pay attention to you because you're different. So, yeah.
So, you know, there's something, you know, I want to point out. You know, yesterday I was listening to Stephen Bartlett, the CEO of Social Chain, and he has a podcast by the name Diary of a CEO, where he talks to like different entrepreneurs and everything, and he shares his open raw conversation. So he was having Ben Francis, the CEO and founder of Gymshark, and he pointed out a thing where Ben Francis is really, really, I would say, conscious of each and every person that buys the Gymshark products and if he's having any problems or not. And he takes it really personally when someone DMs him that, you know, I didn't get the shipping order, that sort of thing. So the point I'm trying to come at is like, Stephen talked about, you know, how himself having the knowledge of social media and everything, he could generate like 4 videos on his Facebook page and have millions and millions of views that people probably just, you know, watched for like few seconds and everything and then forgot. And then himself, you know, like having this long form podcast, obviously the views aren't that high, but people down the street while going here and there, people catch him up and say that, you know, that is something that resonated with me. Do you think like having viral posts and everything, you know, that kind of compromises the depth that we are actually, you know, kind of lacking when it comes to communication?
It's a great point. I think yes, it does happen sometimes. We actually had a viral post on my program just yesterday where this woman was talking about a very personal story. It was clear that it was resonating with people because she was getting tons of messages, getting tons of comments and things like that. And she did a great job. But I also think that there is a lot of truth to what you just said, because I've seen a lot of people go viral and, you know, a week after that happens, it's like it never happened. You know, it's like we're all back to normal. Are we going to remember that it was that person who wrote that post? Are we going to remember their name, their first name, their last name? Are we going to remember what the post was about? And maybe that has something to do with the content world we live in right now, where it's like just swipe to get another piece. I mean, I can't remember any of the TikTok videos my girlfriend shared with me the other day, even though they went massively viral. And so I think that in a lot of ways, like, you're right, like creating let's say a 3-hour podcast, comparing that to a 3-minute video that goes viral, I think the podcast is going to go deeper. I think the podcast is going to be more memorable. I remember watching a podcast with Elon Musk, and he was talking to somebody, and it was like a 3-hour long conversation. And I was just like, man, this guy is smart. You know, it's just like, I took that away. I remember that conversation, but I can't recall any of the TikTok videos I watched, you know, a week ago. And I listened to that Elon Musk conversation a couple of years ago. So, you know, it's you're right. When you go deeper and when you have that longer form, like we're doing right now, I think that makes a bigger impact on people. I mean, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, but I think a 3-hour long conversation is, you know, I mean, that's worth a ton of words as well. And so, yeah, I definitely agree with you there.
With this, you know, you talk about vulnerability, and, you know, I've read a little bit about storytelling, and, you know, they have this different types of phases, you know, you should go through this phase, and then, you know, this is the conclusion, everything. And what I see on LinkedIn is like, you know, people, no, I think one more important point when it comes to storytelling, which I have read, I don't know if it's important or not, is that you share your scars, not your wounds. I don't know, maybe I read it from your article or not, but I think I read it somewhere. So when it comes to LinkedIn posts and everything, sometimes I feel like this is getting a little too vulnerable, where people sometimes are doing it for the likes and everything. I don't know, I'm seeing it from the outside in. So do you think, you know, like that kind of backfires sometimes?
Yeah, I like that. I like that quote, share your scars, not your wounds. I want to dig into that just a little bit before I answer your question, because I think that, you know, that implies that a scar implies that your wound has healed, you know, that your wound is done bleeding. A wound is, you know, kind of, it's still bleeding. It's still right there. I can see it. And we have a lot of people that kind of mistake those two. and they decide to write a post about something that's going on in their life without any kind of resolution. You know, they kind of just say, I'm having problems right now. And there's no resolution. There's no message. There's no punchline. And so when we say share our scars, that means, I mean, I think that's, this is how I interpret it, is that share a story from your past life, from your, you know, past 2-3 years that has resolved, and the lesson that you learn from that. And that's going to do better than just being vulnerable for the sake of being vulnerable, or being raw for the sake of being raw, whatever. Yeah, so that's kind of how I think about that. In terms of it backfiring, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't see too many examples of people doing this necessarily wrong at that, but I think that I don't know if it'll backfire. I think it'll probably just, you know, do nothing in the feed. It'll probably not be shown to anybody.
that's what I meant. Yeah, like backfire, sure. Not in the sense like getting hate or something, but like not performing well on the social media platform.
Exactly. I agree then, you know, and yeah. And so, I mean, I could keep talking about vulnerability and how I see people fake vulnerability very clearly online, and, you know, and they do very well, unfortunately. And I can tell they're faking it because they're talking about the newest buzzword of the day, and they've always been about the views. And, you know, this person never used to be vulnerable in the past, but now they realize that being vulnerable is important. I could talk about that a little bit, but, you know, I guess just for the audience, just make sure that you're being genuine, and you're not just trying to hop on a trend or hop on like the latest buzzword of the day and be vulnerable because you think that's going to get you more. Like, no, like, forget about all that. Be like, tell your story. Tell us something that really happened to you. And don't try to fit your life into a buzzword, or fit your story into the narrative of a buzzword. It's not going to work, first of all. Well, actually, it might work, but I don't know if that's going to be really fulfilling for people sometimes. And so I always just try to start with my own personal stories. And honestly, that's worked out for me. I don't really care about the latest buzzword or anything like that. And so, yeah, that's all I got to say.
You know, seeing your journey, you know, you jumped, you are currently focusing on Twitter, and you mastered Medium, and then you came to LinkedIn, and then now you're currently more focused on Twitter. Are you trying to basically, like, from what I'm seeing, trying to make yourself independent of the platform, regardless of which new platform is coming? Because we have seen like how the social platforms, you know, they get banned some places and everything. So are you trying to position yourself in such a way that, you know, if something happens tomorrow, that, you know, I'm not affected or that sort of thing? Like,
sure. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. You know, I think I learned a lot from the kind of life cycle of medium.com. And I started writing there in late 2016. And for like the first 3-4 years, it was just an amazing place to write. I mean, we had our little dips and lulls in the meantime. In 2018, we saw a bit of a dip in the reach and the algorithms and stuff. But for the past year, it's just been a slog. You know, I think the reach has gone down for a lot of people, and I think a lot of people have just stopped writing there. And it sucks because you see people's reach get cut in half overnight. And when their reach gets cut in half, then their business gets cut in half. And we're all at the mercy of algorithms. And the only way to really save yourself from that is to put your eggs in more than one basket. So you try to go on Twitter, you try to grow your following on LinkedIn. And luckily, I've been doing that on LinkedIn for the past couple of years. I saw this coming from, I kind of had this fear since 2017 about Medium. And so I thought LinkedIn might be a good place to go. And so I started growing my following on LinkedIn, and it's done well for me ever since. But now I'm starting on Twitter, and I like Twitter quite a bit. And so those are my three platforms that I focus on, is Medium, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And so if Medium just dies, then great. I got my LinkedIn, I got my Twitter, and I can work on another platform. I think having three platforms that you're working on at once is probably a good little, it's probably a good kind of happy medium. Because if you try to go for four or five, I mean, it can get ridiculous. So I'm just focusing on three at the moment. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to understand how do you like try to study the platform and sort of like adjust your story. I wouldn't say adjust your story, but deliver the message in such a way that people are used to consuming that sort of thing. When it comes to Twitter, you can't write big paragraphs or that sort of thing, which you might be able to go with on Medium. And similarly, on LinkedIn, people like a decent size of post, like not a long one. So how do you like study the platforms?
Yeah, I think like, first of all, you have to do a little bit of research, maybe like a couple hours of research on what are the types of posts that tend to do well? What are some of the common kind of ideas that they have, or the common structures, the common themes, or, you know, what do they look like? You kind of have to do a little bit of research first. Okay. And what, you know, and you have to do some experimentation as well. It's not like I do a couple hours of research and then I'm good. You have to do some experimentation. You have to do some experimentation in the structure of your posts, in the ideas. Let's say like Twitter, for example, like you have to make like little listicle tweets. Sometimes you can make other kinds of tweets that are kind of like a paragraph, couple paragraphs. Like you can try to figure it out what works for you. And over time, you'll start to understand like what tends to do well and what tends to not do well. But I also think that like we said, like the idea behind the tweet or behind the article is very important as well. And so for me, like what I've done on Twitter is I've written 1,000 blog posts on Medium. I take my best performing blog posts, I open them up, I try to see if there's tweet material in this blog post. And so I read through the whole thing. Maybe if a paragraph catches my eye, I copy it, paste it right into a tweet, post it, bam, it's done. Sometimes I take, you know, if I have like a listicle, like 10 reasons to not do X or whatever, I make that the headline of my tweet, and then I just put the subtitles, like 1.1, 0.2, 0.3, and I just do that. And so I make the whole article basically like one little tweet. I do that too sometimes. And then, you know, if I can figure out any other ways to turn an article into a tweet, that's what I basically do. But generally, you have to do some research. You have to play around a little bit in the sandbox, experiment. And you also have to just like not get discouraged when a post doesn't do well, because it's not going to do well. Not everything's going to do well for you. And so like those are the three things that I would focus on. And then also like just make sure your ideas are rock solid, you know, and experiment with your ideas and try to find ways to say different things. And, you know, there's certain questions you can ask yourself to arrive at better ideas. You know, like what pisses you off about the world today? You know, like what do we take for granted about the world that you don't agree with, let's say, or something like that, or false beliefs that you think that we have, or like, you know, there's tons of different ways to do that. But that's kind of like my general template thought process behind coming onto a platform and trying to figure it out. You know, those four things are really important, I would say.
You know, like I'm jumping back and forth in your journey, and I'm going back and then I'm coming to your current position. But, you know, something that I've seen that, you know, you've been always like a risk taker, I would say. You know, you went to the Philippines, then Mexico, like all those sort of things. Like what goes inside your cerebrum? You know, I'm curious, like, is it like something, I think, you know, like you know that there's nothing is certain, nothing is guaranteed, and you need to be always on the edge, or like what is it?
Yeah, I think I have this fear that I'm going to be on my deathbed one day, and I'll be regretting that I didn't do this or I didn't do that, And that fear just really paralyzes me. Like, I, for some reason, I've always had this this sense that my life is finite and I only have X number of years, and I better, it's, it is better to take the risk and to be a little more, little uncomfortable and to try something than to be at, you know, on your last, on your deathbed, on your last days, like wishing that you had done more. And so we get one life, man. And I don't want to spend that being scared of not taking the risk or not going somewhere. And I, like, look, I'll also say, as I've tried new things and experienced other cultures, I've realized that people are like really receptive to you if you're interested in their culture. You know, it's not like I'm going to come to Mexico and everyone's going to hate me, you know, because I'm a foreigner and I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't, my Spanish isn't that great. Generally, when you go to another country as a foreigner, people are pretty welcoming of you. You know, I mean, that's my experience in Mexico, Philippines, Thailand, every other country that I've been to. People are very welcoming because they're happy that you're visiting. And I'm sure it'd be the same way in India if I can ever make it over there one day. And so I've started to realize that, like, the things that I thought I was scared of aren't really that scary. And so that's helped me to, you know, do some, like, take some risks in my life that people might think are a little scary. It's, well, I know that it's not that scary, you know? And yeah, I mean, I tell you what, though, my first night in Mexico, I got here about a year ago. Well, let's say 9 months ago. My first night here in Mexico, I wanted to come home, man. You know, I was like, I don't know anybody here. I don't know the language. I don't know what to do. I feel like an idiot. I want to buy a plane ticket home. I said that. I had that discussion in my head. And so it's not like I'm perfect. I'm not, man. Like, I'm scared to talk to people. I'm scared to practice my Spanish. I feel like an idiot still. Like, it's a constant battle that I'm going through every day. And for me, being this socially anxious kid, I'm actually kind of surprised that I can come to a new country and try to, you know, make it work. And so, but I have a lot of great experiences, and it's been great. It's been really fun here, and it's been really fun in the Philippines. And yeah, like, taking risks always leads to, for me, it always leads to a lesson. Whether you fail or you succeed, it leads to a lesson, and that means that it was worth it. So, yeah.
You know, there's this Maslow's law of hierarchy of needs, right? And yeah. Is that something you relate with when it comes to, like, you got your finances sorted out and then excuse me, so you're looking for
take your time, bro.
You're looking for a higher purpose or something like that. Is that something you relate with?
Yeah, and like, I think that's a good, interesting thing to jump off of too, because as I've been in other countries, I'm sorry if you can hear this bell. There's that's the bell for the trash. They always take the trash out in Mexico City, and they have somebody ring a bell, and then the truck comes. Wow. And you have like 10 minutes to take your trash out to them. But luckily, I don't have any trash. We're all good. But anyway, yeah. So, like, just to answer your question, like, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I've been privileged enough to be able to focus a lot on self-actualization, which is, I think, the top of Maslow's hierarchy, which is, you know, finding your purpose and doing things that you like and trying to, yeah, feel like you have a purpose on this world, on this planet. But there's other people that are just trying to focus on, you know, food, shelter. I think, like, the third part of that pyramid is, like, relationships, feeling like you have close relationships, and then you kind of have thriving up at the top. So it's like surviving and then thriving is basically how you would say that. And so, yeah, I mean, as I've seen other people in the Philippines specifically kind of like living in really dire conditions, you know, I sit back and I question, like, think, let's talk back on the confidence and things with writers. I kind of sit back and I think about, like, what do I really have to offer to this world in terms of ideas and things of that nature? Like, this person has suffered, like, way more than I ever have. They're dealing with real problems, and I'm over here complaining about social anxiety. Like, I don't, you know, sometimes I feel a little small in that regard, and I've kind of been able to see different parts of the world that you don't get it. You don't get shown that in the United States. You just don't. You don't see poverty in the U.S. Like, yeah, a little bit, but not like you see it in the Philippines, for example, you know? And so those experiences really changed me a lot. And I've kind of been aware that I am so privileged to be able to even focus on that top part of the you know, pyramid, Maslow's hierarchy, you know? And so, yeah, what a journey, man. Like, I could talk about that for a long time, but I'll shut up in case you want to move on to something else, you know?
Oh, it's all good, man. I like the way you think, you know, like, you know, people can, you know, get caught up with the, you know, the LinkedIn man, he's the medium man, he's the medium guru and everything. But, you know, I actually like to dive deep into, like, how people are actually, like, you know, thinking and, you know, how they're actually functioning, as in, like, the decisions they make, you know, like moving to a new country where you don't even speak the language. To be honest, if I were to be in your place, I wouldn't be doing that, you know. And then, like, that to even, like, Philippines, and then, you know, like, then going back to Mexico. And taking these, like, I would say risks, but like you said, you know, like, these are not so hard, like, as they appear to be.
Yeah.
I think that, like, you need to have a decent amount of courage to those kinds of things. So, yeah.
Well, here's one other thing about me that I think might be helpful for people. I'm a middle child, so, and just wait
Same
a second.
Pinch, man. I'm also a middle child.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't saying wait a second to you. I was saying wait a second to the audience. But, like, you know, like, I'm going to tie this into what I'm trying to say. Like, I have a younger brother and I have an older sister. I'm a middle child. And so I've always found myself very much in the middle in my life. I'm trying to hold the family together. I feel like, and maybe this isn't how it is for all middle children, but that's just how I feel. I feel like I'm the one that's, like, everyone kind of forgets about, and I'm kind of in the background working to make sure that, you know, we don't have any problems as a family, and that we solve our problems, and that we just move together, you know, amicably. And so I kind of have that same idea with, like countries and people. And I always am very fascinated by, like, people that have arguments and people that are at, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum. It's like, I want to understand both sides and I want to try to bring them together. I don't know why I feel like I have to do that. I just feel like I have to do that, and I like doing that. And so when I go to a new country, like Mexico, for example, it's always because I'm just so fascinated. There's always an element to it where I'm just so fascinated by Mexico. And obviously the United States and Mexico, you know, with Trump being elected, like, we have our, like, their tensions are kind of high a little bit. And what's happening at the border and stuff. And so I always thought, like, let me understand Mexico a bit more. Let me understand Mexicans. Let me understand their history. And maybe if I go there and I interact with them and I see them and I look them in their eyes, I can understand them a bit more. And I can be a bridge, you know, perhaps, with my content and other things. And so that's kind of like why. I feel like that's another reason why I do what I do. And that's kind of who I am. I like to be that bridge. And there's not as many people that – I just don't feel like there's a lot of people that like to do that, that want to be a bridge between – like, that's why Jon Snow is my favorite character in Game of Thrones, because, you know, he's the bridge between the people in the north beyond the wall and the people in the Seven Kingdoms who think that the people north of the wall are, you know, savages and, you know, and everything like that. He very much is the guy that wants to bridge those two, you know, cultures and stuff. And so I always like those types of characters in movies, the open-minded people, the people that want to bridge, you know, things. And so, yeah, that's just another little thing that maybe somebody can relate to. Who knows?
So, you know, I know we are going a lot on the time. You know, we reached 40 minutes, and
Sure.
so, you know, like as we end the podcast, I ask a few questions just to bring in a little more perspective. So, Tom, what are some principles or precepts you think you have followed and that have made Tom, like the Tom from present?
Man, there's a lot. Risk taking, obviously. Take the risk. I very much believe in that. Do something you're scared of. Like we said, whether you fail or you succeed, you're going to learn something. So risk taking, open-mindedness, I think is very, very important. I don't know, that's helped me a ton in my life. And so open-mindedness is a huge thing. Creativity, tapping into that creative side of yourself, whether that's painting or writing or making videos, I think that can be really helpful. And the world is starving for that. The world is starving for stories and perspectives and creativity and art. And I think that even in this content world that we live in, this endless feed, it's real creativity is really needed these days. Darn. I think those are kind of like my three main things that I end up talking about quite a bit. So risk taking, open-mindedness, and creating. I had something else, but for the sake of me not rambling for the next 2 minutes trying to figure out what it is, I'll end it right there. Yeah.
So the second question is, if you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Hi, pretty cool. I would like to have dinner with President Biden, our president right now. I would just like to get to know him a little bit more. I think that'd be interesting. And whether my preconceived notions of him are founded in reality or not. Ben Franklin is another one. I love Ben Franklin. He's one of my favorite people from American history. And so I think that'd be so cool. And then another one would be, it's all guys, I'm really sorry. Another one would be Montezuma. I think that's how you say that. I think there's a C in there somewhere in his name. But he was the ruler of the Aztecs when they fell to Cortez and the Spaniards way back in the day, like 500, 600 years ago, whatever it was. And so I'd love to be able to talk to him. I mean, I know I can't speak his language, but I'm just assuming there would be a translator there. I would just be fascinated. So yeah, those are my three.
So one more question. No, actually, sec this is the second last question before we wind up. So this is from from Tim Ferriss's book. I kind of adapted it. So if
Okay.
you could have one message or notification that people would be able to see on their devices first thing when they get up, what would that say?
Oh man. Oh, darn. I would say mend your broken bridges, which for me, that would basically mean have the conversation with the person that you've had a falling out with. And mend that broken bridge. I think that would probably do a lot of good in the world. And yeah, bury your pride and your ego for a couple minutes. That's what I would say.
So, Tom, do you have any last words for the kids watching out there? Any piece of advice, life advice, anything?
Man, I would say have more confidence in yourself. Because a lot of people, they don't have confidence and they have a lot of fear and they have not gotten the encouragement that they deserved as a kid, but from their teachers, from the people that they've loved and respected in their life that should have encouraged them. They did not get it. And I would say have confidence in yourself. I am not really that interesting of a person. I'm not really like all that great of a person. but I've been able to share messages with the world, and I've been shocked at some of the things that other people thought were interesting that I just kind of knew already. You know what I mean? And so have confidence in yourself and try to live by that every single day. Try to wake up every day and reinforce that confidence in your abilities. And I think it'll exponentially increase the opportunities for you. And it's easier said than done, but just try to figure out ways to increase that confidence for yourself, I would say. Yeah.
So Tom, where is the best place people can come in contact with you?
Try to go to Twitter. Find me on Twitter, Tom Kugler. I believe it's at Tom Kugler 7. And the way that you say my last name is Kugler. And so, yeah, you can just find me there. And I tweet a bunch and I respond to everybody. So if you, you know, tweet at me, I'll be responding to you. And I would love to have a conversation with you for sure.
Tom, do you have a Twitter course? Like you have a LinkedIn course, Medium course, you have a Twitter course coming out? Or?
No, maybe one day. You know, if I can get my grasp on Twitter first, I got to, you know, if I can get some skin in the game and I can figure out some other things about Twitter, then possibly in like a year, you know, maybe I might come out with a Twitter program or something. But yeah, for now, nothing. And I'm just a lowly creator trying to spread their message, and that's it.
So people listening and watching, this brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you guys took something out of this. And if you did, let me know in the comments or tag Tom on Twitter. And other than that, you guys know what to do. Stay blessed. Keep taking action. We'll catch you in the next one.
Bye-bye.